What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to episode number 502 of the Smart Cow Moment Smack Talk Podcast Hot Tags of the Week, where we will be breaking down some of the current events and rumors and news and gossip and TV talk and other things that happened in the world of pro wrestling over the past few days we feel like talking about. I'm Tony Mango. I've got with me Robert DeFelice.
Fans are back. The tags are hot. I'm excited, Tony. This is actually like a really fun night of wrestling action.
There were some major positives on SmackDown tonight, which is actually going to dominate most of the discussion that we have, oddly enough. Going into the hot tags, we still had some other ones. We still will talk about some other topics, but it kind of all hinged on, you know, this hot tags might be maybe a real downer if that episode sucks, and thankfully it wasn't. So we got some stuff about call-ups to the main roster, potentially at the very least. We got some returns. We got some updates to the Money in the Bank pay-per-view card and some discussion about things going on afterward. We're also going to talk about Fyter Fest night one and an injury, unfortunately, and some other things here and there. So you know the score. Drop a comment below. Like, share, favorite, follow, subscribe, ring the bell, hit the applause button, donate to the Patreon, join the members only stuff on YouTube, get access to the dark casts, do the pick your poison tier, and look at that. Bang, we're done with the plugs for a good portion of that. Let's get into this.
Hell yeah.
And that's the end of the hot tags. Goldberg is going to appear on Monday Night Raw, which is like, shit, there goes Big E winning.
Doom, 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 doom. Listen, you say what you want. I understand that a lot of people are upset about this. I called this.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was on or off air. I honestly
think it was on air. Recall. Because somebody, I forget who it was, somebody in the, it's Von Harris in the chat, or in the Mega Maniacs, had said, I believe it was Rob that asked, how many times has Goldberg wrestled this year?
Yeah. Because if you don't have Lesnar, mm-hmm. Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley is a dope-ass match. On paper.
Well, yeah, there you go.
On paper.
It's something that is nowhere near as big as it would have been years ago, but WWE is very much in this mentality of, bring back the old stars because they're names, and they're not wrong in it. That is going to be a much bigger draw, despite the fact of the group of people, justifiably so, I think, that are like, oh, I don't want to see this. What a waste. It could have been gone for somebody else. But you know what? It's going to draw more attention to it. You just know that that's the truth.
Yep. And I'm good with that. And look, it's going to be 3 minutes long. Suck it up. Spear. Lashley with his spear. Goldberg will go for a jackhammer. Lashley will hit another spear. Probably get the win. It's a different topic entirely if Goldberg wins. But they've proven that he can lose. He's lost to McIntyre. He lost to Braun Strowman, of all people. So it's not like he can't lose.
And it's not like he's up against the evil villain and he's the superhero like with Bray Wyatt. So Bobby Lashley will hit in a couple spears and he'll put him in that hurt lock. And Goldberg won't tap, but the referee will call it. There you go. We did our predictions for SummerSlam before Money in the Bank.
No, I think Goldberg goes down to the spear. I don't think Goldberg fades.
Either way, Lashley wins. So, you know.
Lashley wins. The only way I don't see Lashley winning is if they're like, hey, Bill, can you drop it to
Goldberg? To Lesnar?
That's an Extreme Rules match I wouldn't mind seeing, honestly. You know what? The only way I don't see it happening is if they're like, hey, can we stretch this to where it's Goldberg Reigns at Survivor Series and then he can lose it the night after Survivor Series or something?
Title versus title or something.
Yeah, because it's the brand supremacy thing.
Rumor has it the reason why they aren't doing the Lesnar thing is because they don't want Lesnar to beat Lashley and win the championship, but they don't want Lashley to beat Lesnar because they think that Lesnar versus Reigns is the way that they want to go. So they're once again sacrificing the match that they had set up and everybody kind of wants and whatever to do another Lesnar and Reigns match. But we'll get to that in another time. It just seems like now this puts like a black cloud over Money in the Bank in a way, because it's like, all right, well, you know, whoever wins, it's not going to get factored into SummerSlam.
Now, WWE's about putting smiles on faces, right?
So they claim. They also claim that they make movies.
You know what would put a smile on a face? Biggie Langston has always wanted to wrestle Goldberg. I'm sure you've heard the podcast. I'm sure you've heard them talk about
Goldberg.
Goldberg. And it's, hey, Big E is an option. Put a smile on that face. Give us Big E and Goldberg at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening. But we'll see. Of course, Money in the Bank is coming up this weekend, and we'll be doing the post show and talking about everything that happens there. But we had to update some of the things on Money in the Bank as well. We now know who the final entrant in the women's Money in the Bank ladder match is going to be. And despite all of the options of how they could have gone about doing any of this, they did quite literally the two things that were like, as long as they don't do these two things, then it'll be fine. And those two things were announce that it's Tamina and literally just announce that it's Tamina on social media. And they did. So why? Of course, we've talked about this a million times, so I don't want to just beat this dead horse, but shit, if you're going to get it stuck to the whole Natty and Tamina thing, why didn't you just have a qualifying match? You just do them against Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose or something, or
Knox and Shotzi can't lose.
I guess not. We'll talk about the Mandy Rose thing too, but it's like, man, I don't know, that would have maybe drawn some eyes to the TV show and, you know, whatever made logical sense and had stakes and been better than just a social media thing. But we go back to the whole thing of they constantly want to do the save it for social media, so Twitter's got something to announce and that kind of crap. And now the Tamina edition means, well, there's no Sasha Banks, there's no Sonya Deville, and now our updated idea of... I mean, they could just, at the last minute, change something.
They could attack somebody. They could,
right.
Walter could fall down a flight of steps.
We'll talk about that too later. I could see a scenario where Liv Morgan is taken out of the match and Sonya replaces her.
That's actually where I was going.
If
gets taken out, it's Liv Morgan, because the money is on Liv Morgan being the sentimental favorite. She started crying on tonight's show. I can't wait to talk about SmackDown.
It's a way to get around it where she looked strong on this episode in a way. And then it's like, the fix is in, and you know, that kind of thing. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe their game plan is, hey, we still don't know, even though we should have had, you know, an entire year to figure this out. And they might on Sunday afternoon go, fuck it, it's Jenny. Jinne.
Thank you.
J-I-N-N-E-H. Jinne. Now that they don't have Shepherd doing that, it's not the same. But that's one of the updates to the Money in the Bank. I am going, now that we know who the TBD is, I'm going to say that my current, at least, prediction for the women's ladder match, that the winner is going to be Alexa Bliss.
I'm going Liv Morgan, because I just think, make people happy. You know, I'm especially after tonight, we'll talk about it in a bit, but there was a joke made by you tonight that somebody's pop made it seem like they're coming out to the ring cured the coronavirus.
Right.
Because, like, the pops are so big. Don't fuck this up. Give it to Liv Morgan. Just for the pop.
But look at how they booked SmackDown tonight. Heels.
Well, you know, that means babyfaces go over at the pay-per-view.
Might be, yeah. So that's one of the additions to the card. We also have confirmation now that the SmackDown Tag Team Championship is going to be defended. Dominik and Rey Mysterio, of course, champions. They're going to defend against the Usos on the kickoff. And I'm thinking that the Usos win.
Because the kickoff is back, baby! We're back to doing major matches on the kickoff because we got people.
And that way it's the first match that's going to be hot. They'll probably have a title change, probably. people go nuts, keep the energy up. Makes sense.
I like it.
Not a fan of how that means.
Shows on the podcast, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so. I don't like how that means that Ray and Dominic didn't get really any kind of a title reign, because they really should have won those belts at WrestleMania. But that's not going to stop them from doing that, because in their mind, it's always forward. We didn't make any mistakes in the past, and if we did, you've forgotten about them. And if you didn't forget about them, please forget about them. That's what the philosophy is a lot of the time.
WWE is the toxic relationship that everybody enters.
WWE is the perpetual optimist in a world where people are going, hey, so I wanted to drink that glass of water. Why do you keep telling me that it's half full when you just poured half of it out? And they go, that's half full. And you, can I drink it? And they go, still half full, pal. And you go, but it's got to be, give it a glug, 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 you know. So we'll see how that plays out. We're going to go back in time, talk about some previous TV talk. And there's not really too much more that we're going to do, because we're going to kind of lump in a lot of these SmackDown things in with SmackDown. So
you got, we got a quick hot tags and it's worth it. We got a big weekend.
Yeah. And we already talked about Monday Night Raw. Nothing else we didn't factor into the discussion on the predictions. NXT, we didn't really get all that much into. And what happened there, some funny things, some good things, bad things, you know, whatever it was. A lot of just like kind of restarting in some ways, like Dakota Kai beat Ember Moon just for the sake of, I don't know, she's fucking whatever kind of thing. Diamond Mine is currently not only feuding with Kushida, but also Bobby Fish. Tyler Rust had beaten Bobby Fish, for instance. Saray and Gigi Dolin had a match because Saray was supposed to be building up this thing with Tony Storm, and that got completely dropped.
Why?
Because. We got our first round of the NXT Breakout Tournament, and okay. Duke Hudson, former Brendan Vink, former Tony Modra, former tag team partner of Slapjack, formerly known as Shane Thorne.
He's back as Shane Thorne, and I swear to God, he's in the ring tonight.
Despite not doing anything on actual SmackDown.
Which is weird, but go ahead.
Strange, you know. And he wasn't wearing a mask, thankfully. But Duke Hudson beat Ikemen Jiro. And I think they both looked pretty good doing that.
Yeah.
I've been liking Jiro for what it's worth. And Hudson, this is our first real look at him for a while. And I'm like, all right, cool. I like him.
I dig him.
Now I'm just thinking about that frog.
Snack, sugar. Oh, okay, go ahead.
That cereal sucks. It's one of the worst cereals in the world.
Doesn't matter. It's got a nice mascot.
He needs to fight the WB frog. See who's like the real frog here, you know?
That's right.
And Hypnotoad beats them both.
No bull there.
No, because they're frogs.
There could be bullfrogs.
There you go. Huh. That's an answer to a previous ask him instead. So Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter, Team Ninja, even though they never refer to them as Team Ninja, but they refer to themselves as Team Ninja. They beat the Robert Stone brands, Aaliyah and Jesse Kamea. And Aaliyah then attacked Robert Stone. And she said, I've done more for you than you've done for me. And the crowd was chanting, you know, like one more kick or one more time or whatever. And she went along with it, blew them some kisses, walked off. As did Jesse Kamea with Frankie Monet, and then eventually Robert Stone. So it seems like the Robert Stone brand has changed to being Frankie Monet is in charge, and it's still got Robert Stone in it, but no Aaliyah. So this is, you know, the cards are shuffling in a weird way. The deck's looking a little strange, but it's going to settle in the next 2 months, I think.
So here's what I'll say there. I like it because, my God, they're going to do something with Aaliyah.
Aaliyah, at this point, seems pretty guaranteed to go up to the main roster. And that's even more indicative of, out of nowhere on NXT, Mandy Rose pops up.
Yeah, why?
Because why would you, you know, why would you do the things that make sense? Like, Mandy seems to have been traded to NXT for Aaliyah prior to a draft during a time frame when we need women's tag teams on the roster, while they had set up a thing with Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose against the tag team champions that they never did, even though they could have done that. They could have very easily done that on any episode of Raw or on WrestleMania Backlash, and they didn't. They waited and waited and waited, and then now they're split up.
Yeah.
Baffles the mind.
Yeah.
I don't know why Mandy's being traded to NXT either, because to me, if I were in their shoes, I'd probably put Dana Brooke in those positions.
So I'm of the opinion that Mandy must have been like, no. I've been here long enough. Do something with me or I'm out.
Could be that. Could be a matter of her being like, you know, I kind of got used to not traveling. Can I stick in the Florida market?
Or a Big E. If you didn't know that was an option, you probably would have taken it.
It might be. I mean, I'm you know, I'm talking out of my ass when it comes to this.
No, I know. And I was also talking out of my ass, but you're right. We should clarify that. Yeah, I don't know what the decision was there, but it is. It's exciting. I'm excited to see what they do with Mandy Rose.
Especially because it's like, she kind of seemed to already start going for a feud with Frankie Monet, but she popped up during the Saray and, or was it, wait, was it the Saray one? Or was it the Dakota Kai match? Yeah, I'm blanking on that.
No, it was Saray. She nodded.
The Saray and Gigi Dolin one. Yeah, thought so. So, of course, everybody's already questioning, is she a heel? Is she a babyface? Seems like she's still a babyface.
I don't think they know yet.
I don't think they really know it yet either, but I think that right now, like, she hasn't done anything to turn heel, so she's still a babyface by default. And I don't know if this is pro Mandy or if this is, hey, you're a big enough deal that you can help out NXT, but you're not a big enough deal that we feel like we're losing anything. Kind of like a
Tyler Breeze.
Like a, yeah, sort of. A little bit of a Finn Balor situation too. Kind of, I was thinking more so like Cesaro when he went down there with Tyson Kidd. And when we had a little bit of like Titus O'Neil and Jinder Mahal and Heath Slater, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like Jinder in NXT for that short time frame that he was in there, it was like, oh, okay, he's a big deal because he's a main roster guy, but he could just lose to people. Maybe that, I mean, look at Ember.
That's true.
It's even more recent one. Now Ember's sticking around, and I'm excited for Ali to go up to the main roster. I think that she should, well, depending on how they do the draft thing, I think she should potentially go over to Raw. But, yeah, I mean, we need more people on SmackDown. More the better.
I agree.
I just hope that they have a game plan. I really just need them to plan. That's it. Just think of things ahead of time. Take the time and the effort to sort it out.
You
know they don't
get the chance to, though. I'm sorry. Like, you look at some of these draft moves, you know that they don't have the chance because Toni Storm will already be on SmackDown next week. Tegan Nox and Shotzi Blackheart have defeated the tag champions twice.
Well, the thing is that they do have the chance to do it. They just choose not to.
Well,
because you've got enough people employed. If I could do it and plan out that in like a 15-minute time frame with a spreadsheet, they can settle 15 minutes of one conference to sort out a vague game plan for the entire roster for the whole year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you know they don't work like that.
Or they could hire me and I can do it. I'll put it out there. Not that they're listening to this. I'll put it out there. You give me $100 and I'll fucking plan out everything I can for an entire year. $100.
I am fascinated by how every conversation and every podcast is turning into, listen, I will do it. Just like, I need things.
I'm already trying to fix Peacock for America. So I'll add it to the list. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, as many times as we keep saying good things are good, it's not that hard, all these other kind of catchphrases that have just been like, I don't know how many times over the years that I've been saying it's not that hard. One of my other catchphrases that has gone back for as long as possible is somebody's got to do it. That's what I say to people when they're like, thanks for helping with whatever. And I'm like, somebody's got to do it. So there you go, WWE. I'm a conference call away. That's all it takes. Hit me up on Skype. You got my information. Sent the application in. Anyway, hashtag hire Mango. Spread it around Twitter. But
thanks, Peter.
That is something. that's something that was on NXT. I really dug the things with LA Knight and Cameron Grimes. I thought it was funny. Like, LA Knight thinks that he's doing something that's going to really upset Cameron Grimes by trimming up his beard and stuff. And Cameron Grimes is just like, I look good, you know?
Cameron Grimes, I believe, didn't he also get like a child?
Yeah, he delegated the yard work to a kid named Noah, who is on the list of that roster list that I keep track of because somebody's got to do it, where I keep track of all the extra characters. So Noah, the kid who helps out with the yard work, is on that list.
You know what's great though, Tony?
Good things. Great things are great.
Well, you know, it's a really great thing is when you can take care of your own yard work.
That you can, and you don't have to hire somebody like Noah to do it. All you have to do is go over to manscaped.com and check out some of the things that they have over there that are fashioned after the idea of some yard work. They've got the lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, and you can, you know, trim up all the weeds or whatever bushes that you've got. Maybe you've got like Venus fly traps or something, and that's a condition that you really need to get checked out from a doctor because that's not how things should be down there. But you've also got the weed whacker, and you got to trim things with the weed whacker both for your yard and for your nose. So that works really well. I have three different nose trimmers, and that one quickly became my favorite out of the three of them. So I can attest to that. They've got the ball wipes. You got the ball toner. They got a bunch of different products. And if you go over to manscaped.com and you use the promo code SMARK, S-M-A-R-K, you will get 20% off your order, and you will also get free shipping for that order. So it's as convenient as it can get. You don't need to be a butler to have that going on. You could be a butler, though. I mean, there's no discrimination. If you're a butler and you want to pick this stuff up, promo code SMARK. If you're Cameron Absolutely. Grimes and you want to pick this stuff up, promo code SMARK. I don't think he needs to save the money because he's got a whole bunch of Dogecoin or whatever it was that he had invested in, but...
Well, Baron Corbin needs to save the money, and listen, one wrong investment can completely tank everything, but Manscaped will never be the wrong investment because of everything they give you and the skin-safe technology and everything you get in the Perfect Package 4.0. You've got the lawnmower, you've got the weed whacker, you got the ball toner. I mean, these are things that most people wouldn't even consider, but they take the time to say, hey, well, you got the ball toner, you got the crop mop, you got so many things, and it's just going to make you live a better life so that eventually, when the time is right, you can go to the news with the code Mango.
Not the code Mango. Code Smart.
Yeah, that was good.
So yes, use the code SMARK, S-M-A-R-K, and check out what they've got over there on manscaped.com. It not only helps out Manscaped, of course, because you're ordering something from them, and it not only helps yourself out because you're getting these products, that's kind of the whole point of why you're ordering them, but also helps out Smark Out Moment. So if you do want to show us some support, then you can do so by helping us with the sponsorship. And not only is that greatly appreciated on my end, but I'm sure that Manscaped is going to thank you for that, just as your balls will thank you. So we do have that going on with the whole Cameron Grimes thing. He, of course, knocks him accidentally into the pool. And they're telling this basic story of, you know, this idea that LA Knight thought that he was going to be really sticking it to Cameron Grimes, who's doing the best thing you can do when it comes to bullying in that scenario of like, yep, doesn't bother me. And then it's like, oh damn it. It didn't work. You know what I mean? Loving it.
Yeah. It's a life lesson, children, for how to deal with bullies. You just ignore them, let everything you can roll off your back, and hey, look at that, you're going to the moon.
And if you do somebody's yard work and they refuse to pay, you kick them in the leg.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
I think maybe in the future we're going to get Noah versus
Nicholas.
I was going to call him Angelo, and I'm like, that's not even fucking close. Angelo. Okay, sure. Nicholas, Angelo. Yeah. They all start with the same thing. A letter.
A letter.
So we got some Adam Cole trash talking. They set up a bunch of stuff in the future about Bronson Reed attacking, or not attacking, but, you know, challenging Adam Cole, essentially. And Johnny Gargano fails to win the NXT Championship over Karrion Kross. So that answered that question.
Disappointing.
Let's talk about Fighter Fest over on the AEW side of things. Night one of Fighter Fest, I should clarify, because we don't know what happens on night two. But got some good stuff there going on, and some mediocre stuff. Jon Moxley retained the IWGP United States Championship over Carl Anderson. I like that match. It was a good opener.
Cool seeing Carl work like a proper match.
Team Taz turned on Brian Cage, and now Ricky Starks is the new FTW champion.
Let me explain something to you children. That is why a crowd matters. This crowd went nuts. You would think that, like, the match was great. It was an okay match. It wasn't a bad match. But, like, wow, this crowd went nuts. And I loved it.
Great to see Starks back in the ring. Great to see him win something like this. And it's cool that this is pushing Brian Cage more into... At this point, he's flat out said, I don't want to be a part of Team Taz anymore on social media. So, you know. Cody Rhodes cut one of those promos that he's been doing a lot. This is kind of one of those things I wish that we would change up a little bit. The angry Cody, you attacked me and now it's personal thing. I think this is maybe like the sixth time that this has happened. I want them to sort of change that formula. So here's
why I liked this. Because it wasn't in like this random Cody-verse where it's just Cody's guys. And it's Cody's guys and Cody. He feels like he's a part of the show again. It seemed like a big deal. I was a big fan of this.
I'm really looking forward to the match, but the promo, not so much for me. It wasn't bad. It was just like, I want to see more. We got some stuff with Adam Page and the Elite and the Dark Order. And essentially what this had set up was, there's going to be a 5-on-5 elimination match between the Elite and the Dark Order. If the Dark Order wins, they get title shots, the tag team titles, and Paige gets his world championship match, which he kind of should already because he's the number one contender, but we're not going to talk about that.
No, I think they're going about it the right way.
I don't know, because if the Elite wins, they lose the title shots, and we've got... How many weeks until All Out? All Out is like September 5th at least like or a good so.
9 or 10.
So I don't know if they've got the legs to do this if they do that 5-on-5 elimination match and they still have something like 5, 6, 7 weeks left.
We'll see.
Then again, though, if they lose, you only have a couple weeks to really set up him getting another title shot, so... I don't know. I'm getting worried that that's not going to work out as well as it should, but knock on wood. That probably was not a good idea to do that when I'm recording. game plan, hopefully, is Paige gets properly built up even more so than he already has been and beats Omega at All Out. That'd be great.
I like it.
I was not super high on Christian Cage against Matt Hardy because I just want them to fight other people.
Yeah, here's the thing. Dang, didn't even do it. But I love this match because they worked like they were Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair just doing like the 10 punches in the corner and the 10 buckles. And that's so much fun, because I remember when Christian and Matt Hardy were, like, high flyers. And I just enjoy seeing their evolution. And it's nice to see Christian still wrestling.
Yeah, that's always a good thing, because we went so long without him wrestling. And just in general, whenever somebody can come back like that, it's always going to be like, oh, that's good. But the feud itself is not doing anything for me. I really just kind of want to see Cage against some other people. And well, I really want to see Cage against Edge, but it's not happening right now.
I guess not. I'd like the Matt Hardy project to go away. Just like the hodgepodge of guys. I'm not a fan. I love Matt Hardy, obviously. But the hodgepodge of guys, I can do without.
Yeah, I agree. The Hardy family office. Not my favorite stable.
Well, Hangman's stable is your favorite stable.
Well, he's got the horses, so yeah.
Exactly.
Cowboy shit. Got a Britt Baker and Nyla Rose kind of promo just to remind everybody that it's happening next week. One of my takeaways that I wrote up was Vicky Guerrero needs to leave, kind of. Nyla Rose did fine enough on her own. Vicky's promo didn't help.
What'd she say? She's going to shove a jalapeno up her ass or something?
Something like that.
Her yeah. being Britt Baker, not that Vicky was going to do that to herself.
Roses.
you know, I liked it.
I liked Sammy Guevara against Wheeler Yuta.
Yeah, Wheeler Yuta is an interesting story. Because he's gotten a WWE tryout. He's worked Ring of Honor. He's worked Dark. Now it seems like they're slotting him into like a best friend's role. In a way. But I guess we'll see.
Is that like a different take on his character? Like, what's his character, do you know?
I have no clue. But they've been... Everything they've done with him, he's been put with the best friends. So I assume it's got to be something along those lines.
If it isn't, and they're completely redoing things, then I apologize for this one. It seems like that they're reinventing the Wheeler.
All right. Move on.
Fist in the air. There you go. Got that.
Move on.
My favorite person on the roster to say the name of, Yuka Sakazaki defeated Penelope Ford.
I said things about this match on the Fightful podcast. People assumed I hate Joshi wrestling. I don't know why. All I said was, hey, the fact that Yuka won the match and Penelope Ford's been there since the start of the pandemic might give people the wrong impression.
My big takeaway from this, more than anything else, and this is not a slight on Yuka Sakazaki, but it's more so, I guess, kind of a positive with a Penelope Ford, is every time I see Penelope Ford, I think she feels like a WWE superstar. Like, something about her makes me feel like she's not in the right company. Some people definitely should go to AEW and vice versa and whatever. I feel like Ford would be better off in WWE.
Yeah, Penelope Ford is a lot of fun. And that was kind of my point about, well, I feel like if you just put the Joshi over, maybe people feel slighted because Penelope Ford has been there since the start of the pandemic.
Yeah, kind of like, hey, where's my win? I've been holding down the fort.
Right. Ford. So, I don't know. Right now they're going with the Joshi again, but maybe Penelope Ford can rack up some big wins in the later years.
So the winner of that was Yuka Sakazaki. And Darby Allin won the coffin match against Ethan Page and finished it with what I am dubbing the final nail in the coffin drop.
I like that. I sign off on that because that was great.
But that was a lot of fun. I like that.
Yeah, and Darby Allin's great. One of the best in business. I like that it was like an actual casket. And yeah, I have no problem with this.
Probably should be a little bit bigger if they're going to do that going forward. Seemed like that was kind of cramped.
Well, maybe they just wanted the realism effect.
I mean, they don't need to have like Yokozuna sized, you know? But yeah. Thumbs up on Fyter Fest Night 1 for the most part. Curious to see what happens with Night 2. We're going to get a Texas death match between Lance Archer and Jon Moxley. That'll be fun.
Yeah, and honestly, when you can run back a match from Wrestle Kingdom on a random episode of TV, I think you're winning. Not only that, but you got a women's title match. You've got...
For some reason, the Blade against Orange Cassidy again. I don't really know why.
I was going to skip that because...
Because it's nothing.
Because it's nothing. And you had Jericho against Sean Spears. Spears can use a chair. Jericho cannot. And
The five labors of Jericho, I think is what it's called. So obviously Jericho wins, but yeah, that'd
work
be fun.
Work it out, man.
What's he trademarked? The God of War,
I think. Oh, I hate it.
He's trademarked everything.
I don't know. I'm not a big fan of modern Jericho. And again, Callum said he would disagree with me on this. If you're listening, Callum, it's not that I don't like Jericho. It's that his current babyface persona is not working for me.
I've seen better. I've seen worse.
I've definitely seen worse. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, I feel like I've seen worse on Raw this week.
Yeah, that's true. Something that is on the worse side of things. Walter is injured. He fell down some steps and hurt his wrist or his hand or which one is it? Do you know? I think it's his hand.
It's his hand. I believe it was a hand injury.
Considering the guy's predominantly a chopper. Not like a helicopter, but like, like get to the chopper, not that kind of thing. Like he chops a lot in his matches. It's Walter, get to the chopper. Like, you know, iced him. God, we need to do a fan tracks of Batman and Robin. Needs to happen. So we need to do two versions of the Batman and Robin fan tracks. One of them legitimate, the other one just going, like the whole time.
Chill out.
This is the part with the Batman. He fights as the Batman. That's what Arnold does for all of his commentaries. Listen to an Arnold Schwarzenegger commentary if you ever get a chance to. It is amazing. He literally narrates the movie and tells you what you're watching. He'll be like, this is the part where I get the sword. And it's like, yeah, I know, because you're getting the sword. Love that dude. He's amazing. But Walter's injury is going to push back that match against Ilya Dragunov. And that sucks because it was a match to look forward to. Their last match was fucking great. And it's not going to be great if he can't use his hands. So I see the reason why they're delaying it.
That's all that matters.
What was it?
I said as long as Walter's not out for good, that's all that matters.
I'm assuming it's probably just some kind of couple weeks sort of things. One report, which I don't know the validity of it. I don't even know how much of a grain of salt you should take. Maybe it's a whole block of it. Had said that he would potentially be out for like 4 to 6 weeks. You know what? The dude's not wrestled in like 2 months or so. Maybe even more than that. Just fucking wait. You know, it's NXT UK. Nobody's going to fucking care.
But he's been champion for over 830 days.
For that matter, I think that he should retain over Dragunov anyway. So let the dude carry it for 1,000 days plus. I'm cool with it.
I can agree with that.
And ultimately, it doesn't really, really matter as much as it is when it comes to some other things. Like, I hated when they did this kind of stuff with Brock Lesnar, but it's NXT UK. It's a completely different scenario than Monday Night Raw. So, keep it on, Walter.
And that's all you need to do.
Mikko Satomura beat a male. Rohan Raja and Teoman beat Ashton Smith and Oliver Carter. I don't think there's really anything else going on. Tyler beat retained the Heritage Cup.
Next week, Subculture faces the Fabio Twins for the NXT UK tag titles. I believe they're called Pretty Deadly. I call them the Fabio Twins.
Yeah, I still haven't decided on which one's pretty and which
Sam
one's deadly.
Sam Stoker and Lewis Howley.
I still don't know which one's Sam Stoker and Lewis Howley either, for that matter. It's like, it's the blonde one and the brunette one. One of them's, I don't know, Sam Howley and the other one's Lewis Stoker. There you go.
Yeah. As I say, Mario Fabio and Luigi Fabio.
Yeah. Oh, the Super Fart Fabio Twins.
That's right.
Eventually, we're going to do that fan tracks to Super Mario Brothers. But we'll do that one with the Arnold Schwarzenegger voices. So it'll be like, nah, this is tomorrow with Mario. Just
gonna... He gets the mushrooms.
You see the dinosaur, because he's not a human, he's dinosaur. It's 1:03 in the morning. So SmackDown has the majority of these kind of topics. And we already talked about the idea that Aaliyah is coming up to the main roster. She didn't do anything on SmackDown, but yeah, it's in the works.
We gotta talk about the best part of the return to live crowds.
Well, before that, they had a bunch of dark matches.
Oh, yes.
And one of those dark matches was Aaliyah with Xia Li. So this is interesting because Xia Li is randomly getting a title match against Raquel Gonzalez already next week. And they're thinking about potentially moving up to the main roster? Things are happening. Things are weird.
Yeah.
They're selling the company.
I don't know if it's that serious.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with it. I'm just putting it out there anyway. I do think it's happening, but the idea of Xia Li getting a tryout match
is shocking.
She's been doing some great stuff, and stranger things have happened, you know? It seemed weird at first when people didn't win the championship before they would come up to the main roster, but it worked out for some of these people. And Xia Li is in a position where she could very easily just come up to the main roster and they could just bring in Tian Sha, or, which I don't want this to be the case, they could do what they do a lot, which is, hey, fuck that whole Tian Sha thing. We're just going to bring her up on her own. I'm hoping that doesn't happen.
Oh, if they kill Tian Sha, then you know what? In the words of one of my favorite Disney characters, dishonor on you, dishonor on your cow. Like, you can't.
For some reason, when you said that, I immediately thought, in the words of one of my favorite Disney characters, Prince Ali, fabulously.
No, definitely not.
Like, I have nothing to do with it. Xia Li, fabulous sheet on the main roster. There you go. Oh my god, I'm nailing it out of the...
Alright, I'll give you this one. Hey, Tony. What do you get when you merge Xia Li and Aaliyah?
Is it Xia Li?
There you go, buddy. There you go.
Hit the applause button. We deserve it. Come on. Pick up a t-shirt. TeePublic and Redbubble. I'd put a Xia Li shirt up there, but they'd fucking take it down because I'm not on the payroll, and they should change that. There you go.
All right, so SmackDown.
Well, some other people that had the dark matches, according to reports, Austin Theory, oddly enough, teaming up with Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Oh, of course. Well, of course.
And they fought Odyssey Jones and Zion Quinn, who...
I mean, Tony, isn't that what you would do?
If I were shuffling the deck like they seem to be doing, and I'd go, is this your card? Is this your card? Is this your card? I think it's cool. Like, I'm totally on board with Harry Smith coming back to WWE. I never would have imagined he would come back in this fashion and to team with Austin Theory against Odyssey Jones and Zion Quinn. Like, none of that makes any sense to me, but from what I've seen of Odyssey Jones, he seems like he's got some potential. I haven't seen almost anything about Zion Quinn, so I can't tell you one way or the other. Big fan of Austin Theory. I think he's been doing some fantastic stuff, but I don't want him to break away from Gargano yet. And then Harry Smith, yeah, just bring him back.
Well, first of all, one of these men is a former tag team champion from 10 years ago. And still, he's not the one that's been in a WrestleMania match of the four, because that's Austin Theory. You should not need a dark match to see how Austin Theory works. Yeah. Davey Smith Jr. is in the best shape of his career. If you'd watched 205 Live, you would have seen 405 Live last week with Odyssey Jones. And Zion Quinn, I feel like Daniel Bedeau has been there forever.
He, I think, had wrestled maybe a match or two on Monday Night Raw when they were doing the whole random throwing people out there like Cal Bloom and such.
Yeah, good old Cowboy Cal Bloom. One of my favorites.
Was he a Gottwick character, or is that just a Kellen Wiggins joke?
No, that's a Kellen Wiggins joke.
Cowboy Wiggins.
Son of a...
Bitch.
Yes. Not son of a bitch, no, son of a Beverly.
Son of a bitch.
Because he's one of the Beverly Brothers children.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. And the Beverly Brothers are actually not related. But yeah, he is one of theirs.
Curious why they didn't call him something with Beverly.
Because I don't know if they want anybody to remember the Beverly Brothers.
Beverly Hillbillies. Great song. Shout out to Weird Al. So we might see Davey Boy Smith popping up pretty soon. I'm hoping Austin Theory doesn't come up quite yet, because I think that he's doing his best character work and he could still use a little bit of time to get some more seasoning. Odyssey Jones, he just started. Give him a little bit of a break in NXT first. Zion Quinn, good. He needs some time.
He looks good, though. Odyssey Jones looks good.
I like the name. Cool name.
There you go.
So when SmackDown actually started, it starts off with Vince McMahon. He comes out and he says, "Where the hell have you been?" And then leaves. It's like, God damn it. I love that.
Yeah, wasn't that like the best part of TV? Because he literally just shows up on stage and goes, "Where the hell have you been?" And then just takes a bow. Bows,
no chance. It reminds me of the thing from Simpsons with the, Chris, gotta throw another Simpsons joke out there, with Steve Martin's character with the sanitation commission, and they're referencing the Red Fox thing that's from back in the day where Red Fox had come out. They were like, you know, playing the Sanford and something, and apparently Red Fox had done this thing where he looked at the crowd, saw that it wasn't like a packed crowd, and said, "I'm not fucking doing this show," and walked back out. And then they just started playing, like, just because they had no idea what else to do. It just kind of seems like that. It's, you do Vince McMahon's theme, he comes out, "Where the hell you been?" No chance. Exactly. Just kinda...
All right. The crowd stayed hot for the first match. That pop for Edge.
Huge. What
made you think he's here, COVID?
Pop for Roman Reigns too. People were just kind of like, "Ah, it's Roman. I'm not supposed to be dumb. I don't like this guy. Ooh, boo." That kind of thing. Very reminiscent of like John Cena 2008 Royal Rumble, just not in the same sort of venue where you could hear it the same way, but like that kind of like, "Oh yeah, yeah, whoa, heel. Oh yeah, boo, boo, boo this man." They won that 6-man tag match though.
Ed is one of the best wrestlers on the planet. He's not going to win anything up until he gets in the ring with Seth Rollins. So he's not winning the 6-man tag. I do think they should have given it to him, though, because let's be honest, was it really going to kill you to put Edge over in a 6-man tag?
Could have very easily just speared one of the Usos.
Have him pin, you know, Jimmy Uso, the end.
Probably what I would have done, yeah. Because I still think that the Mysterios are dropping those tag titles, so they get a win over that. Usos win back, balances out.
Right.
They set up some seeds for the Seth Rollins and Edge thing backstage. Yeah,
I have not seen them set up a feud this far in advance in a while.
Long-term storytelling, pal.
It's so clear you know where they're going. It's like not even a question. Rollins is going to lose Money in the Bank. Edge is going to lose to Roman. And they're off and running at SummerSlam.
Edge will talk about how he still has the grit. You know, he would have had the match won, etc. Rollins will go, "Ha, ha, ha," at different points.
"You got the grit, but I've got the drip." Ah.
Yeah. So we got one guy doing the whole drip thing, and then we got Johnny Drip Drip over on Monday Night Raw. We need a drip representation on NXT.
I was watching Morrison did an interview with WWE Germany, and this dude popped himself because I guess he's talking about Ricochet, and he's like, "Yeah, he's fine, he can fly, he can this, but he's not moist. He needs some liquid or something to make him moist." Like, he's totally lost it and started popping himself.
Some people really don't like the word moist. I don't know why.
Moist. Moist.
Perfectly fine word. Moist. It's not like it's like preggers. That's a bad word. That's just like the. Let's see. We got Sami Zayn coming out talking about how he, if there was a just world, the Money in the Bank briefcase would just be given to him. And he doesn't get that. Instead, he gets an attack from Finn Balor popping back up on SmackDown.
Finn Balor. The Prince is back.
Little Finn Balor.
How long do you think it takes before they turn him to the demon? Because it's in NXT. I say Survivor Series.
I would say maybe Extreme Rules. But they might not have to do that yet. He might still be riding the waves of like, oh, I remember this guy because I don't watch NXT because I'm a casual. You know?
That would be very interesting.
Now, the Balor and Zayn thing, just starting a feud between those two, that would have been a good like kickoff match, I think.
Yeah, and who knows? We might even get it.
Yeah, maybe they add that to the card. Or maybe they are just thinking, hey, we'll do that on SmackDown. That'll be fun. That'd
be cool. You never know what they're going to hotshot these days. But I'm glad that Balor's back on the main roster. I think he beats Apollo Crews.
He's definitely right at the top of that list. I had thought it was going to be Cesaro, but Balor in the mix now, very, very strong candidate for that. He could also have at least a one-off against Roman Reigns and just be another guy that Roman beats.
Yep.
So, we'll see.
First ever Universal Champion, longest reigning Universal Champion.
Yeah, Reigns. I'm like, wait a minute. He's definitely not the longest reigning. I thought you were talking about Balor. I'm like, that's...
Oh, wait. Because Brock still has him beat by a little, doesn't he?
Yeah, not by too much, I don't think. I think that Roman's at something like... Roman's at like 500 something, I think.
I might actually be way off because I think Lesnar might have held it for longer than I recall.
In any fashion, I'm totally fine with Roman Reigns beating Brock Lesnar's record. So,
yeah.
I think if I did the calculations right the other day, that if he holds it until WrestleMania, I think he beats it. But I don't remember 100% for sure. We'll see. Anybody wants to do the math?
I'm checking it out now. It's Brock Lesnar held it for a recognized 156 days the first time around. Oh, never mind. Roman Reigns is up to... Oh, no, wait a minute. Hold on. No, wait. The first time around, Brock held it for 504 days. Yeah. So Brock Lesnar has a combined... he's well over 600 reigns as champion.
Oh, what's Reigns? Come on.
320. Oh, wait, and I always forget that he did hold the belt for a while. So he's held it for about 384. He did a combined 384. Lesnar's way above that, because one reign alone was 500 days.
Mm. Yeah, so maybe it's not WrestleMania then. Well, we'll see. But Finn Balor's going to be in the mix in some fashion on SmackDown, so that's cool. Then we got some more stuff with Shotzi and Knox beating Natalya and Tamina, Liv Morgan and Zelina Vega fighting ringside. Basically, to give Liv Morgan a chance to point up and be like, hey, look, I want to win Money in the Bank. And to give Shotzi and Knox. See, we knew we were going to say it at some point. We knew that we were going to say it.
Oh, my God.
Because it's just Knox and Shotzi. It's hard not to say that. Knox and Shox. Tegan Knox and Shotzi Blackheart, give them their names. Yeah. Avoid that from happening in the future with other people. God forbid you have something like, I don't know, Pat McAfee says it at some point or something, you know? But for me, who cares?
You know?
Maybe the post-production with that. But Shotzi and Knox beating Natalya and Tamina again means we're just going to get a tag team title match, and that's the easiest way that they do
it. Next week, and they'll beat them next week.
Probably. Bianca retained over Carmella. No surprises, and no nothing Sasha. Happened. Yeah.
Very surprised.
Kind of like blah. Not as blah as the Cesaro beating Otis by DQ after like 10 seconds because Chad Gable just interferes and it's a complete waste of a moment.
Yeah. And this already doesn't feel like the Cesaro from May when he was fighting Roman. It just felt like, he's there.
Yeah, he's just back to being that mid-card sort of thing. I really hope that they turn things around. We got a promo with Paul Heyman backstage talking about Edge.
But that's when good things happened.
Big E's bouncing around, making fun of how he says that and everything.
And it's like, yes, they're going to run Big E and Roman at some point.
Baron Corbin talks about how he's set up a Corbin Fund Me page.
I think that's so fucking funny.
And I tried, like, immediately, I'm like, let me buy those domains, and they already had them. So, like, man. But he gets a stunner from Kevin Owens for his effort. They're growing back his hair, I guess because they thought it'd be, like, more pitiful to see the balding kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
Instead of just being bald, which is a good little touch. Smart.
I like it. I worry about Corbin because he could just be kicking ass. But as long as he's having fun.
Give him the belt at some point. I think he's underrated as hell. And Seth Rollins came out on top of the Fatal 4-Way match because he's not going to win Money in the Bank. And this keeps him looking strong.
And Big E took the pin because he will win Money in the Bank.
Still a very, very strong possibility. Even with the Goldberg thing.
Goldberg!
Great if Big E and Goldberg have a match and the entire promo is just, he says that, and Goldberg just goes, Big E! And then they're like, all right, see you later.
Yeah. I'm here for it.
And you were here for the hot tags, because that's it. That's all we needed to break down.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, drop your comments below. Tell us what you think about all these things we were talking about. Give us your thoughts heading into Money in the Bank, because it's happening this Sunday at 7 p.m. ET. So you will find coverage up on smartoutmoment.com for all that stuff. You're going to see some other things in the meantime on smartoutmoment as well, just regular content. And I don't know, maybe I put some other stuff up. Like I put up the Call the Spot on the card earlier today because I was like, all right, well, I do that every single time. So there you go. Did that. We also have the Heat of the Moment tournament going on right now where you can vote on the first round of who is the best heel act in WWE and AEW right now. We got some people that are really taking the lead, which is not surprising for some. And then some other people where I'm like, you know what? I thought that would have been a little bit closer. Like, I won't say who is winning between Bayley and Adam Cole, but going in a direction that I didn't think was necessarily going to. So vote on that while you can. That should be shut off. I think Tuesday night is when I'm going to be shutting off those polls. Maybe Wednesday morning. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But if you vote now, then you don't have to worry about it because you'll have gotten your votes in. And you should check out everything else that's happening on smartcutmoment.com. You should also head on over to fanboysanonymous.com to check out the movie reviews and the other kinds of geek culture content that we have over up on that channel and that website. For instance, we had recently done a watch-along of Tucker and Dale versus Evil, and after we get done recording this, we're going to do a fan tracks of Space Jam. So,
because we need to laugh.
And we need, as Rob had referred to it, some mind diarrhea of just the run down the week. And that hopefully will not be a shitty film, but, you know, it's another joke. And that'll be up on the website. We also have the Review to a Kill James Bond series that we have been doing, multiple episodes of those up. I think we're at 28 episodes that have been posted already. Something along those lines. The most recent one was a series of Sporkle quizzes where we could test our James Bond knowledge between I did mine on my own, Robin Callum did theirs. We kind of triple teamed some other ones here and there. So if you're interested in the Bond stuff, then check that out. Stay tuned for the other stuff that's happening on there. Check out the Black Widow review as well. We're going to do a bonus feature soon talking about Loki. Maybe some other stuff in the meantime. I don't know. But if you subscribe to that channel, you check out all the ways you can support that, like that Patreon, the TeePublic and Redbubble, everything that's good over on that side. Help out the blue brand, helps out the red brand, vice versa. Everything under a mango tree gets helped out. You know, you water the roots, Doesn't matter which part you water, still helping the tree out. That'll give you some nice little shade. So if you want to follow me on my other exploits, I'm at Tony Mango. If you want to follow Rob, he is at Dude Felice.
I am comfortably under the shade of a mango tree. And you can follow me everywhere at Dude Felice. Check out everything I've got going on. Check out Instagram at Dude Felice, Twitter, Twitch, TikTok, anything that you can think of, I've got it. So there you go. And check out Fightful, because Fightful Select broke the news about Bill Goldberg. And Sean Ross Sapp works his ass off.
We talk out of our ass, he works his ass off. Bunch of asses.
He's a hardworking man.
So thank you for listening to this, everybody. And as I said before, we will see you next time in the post-show, live, after Money in the Bank. We'll roll along next week and get into the next kind of bits of stuff that we got going on. The current game plan is question mark. So if you have any suggestions of what you'd like to see for the next couple of weeks, let us know. We'll factor that in, and then we'll see you when we see you, everybody. That's it for this episode, though. This has been another Smark Out moment, and we're being counted out.